Solo and Pair by Kelsey Septeen. Read by Rhea 314. Chapter 7. Hasetsu, Part 7. After Yuri fails to qualify for the Grand Prix series, life returns to the same monotonous rhythm. Morning runs, school, evening practice, schoolwork, and sleep. Occasionally, a minor competition or exhibition will shake up the monotony. Yuri wins a majority of them with the same routines he performed at tri-regionals, though at the gentle behest of his part-time coach, he minimizes the two quads in his free skate to triples.
"You don't have the right number of rotations," his instructor says. "We can continue to practice, of course, but for now I think we should increase your number of combinations and focus on your presentation. That should buff up your points."
Yuri acquiesces, and only the plethora of prizes, the ribbons and trophies, the monetary consolations and the small prestige, help soothe the sting of disappointment. He needs to start landing quads if he wants to further his career, but it seems that no matter how hard he tries, he cannot pass the point he has reached.
"You're plateauing,"
Nishigori says one day as they sit on the benches outside the rink, boots laced and hard guards on as they patiently wait for open skate to begin. Yuko, already graduated from high school and working full-time at Hasetsu Ice Castle, is helping a small circle of children take their first tentative steps on the ice.
"It happens."
Yuri huffs, irritated. He knows that all athletes plateau, and he knows that they often do so multiple times over the course of their careers. But knowing it and experiencing it are two entirely different things.
"I've plateaued before,"
Yuri points out. He sounds whiny and petulant, even to himself, but he cannot care. He is tired of his lack of progress.
"Then why are you letting it bother you?"
Nishigori slaps his broad palm down on Yuri's bouncing knee. It does not hurt, but it does startle, and Yuri jumps in his seat.
"You have to let your body catch up to your ambition. Take a break."
Nishigori grins.
"You do know what a break is, right?"
Yuri frowns at Nishigori's teasing. Though it is good-natured and friendly, it still strikes a nerve. Yuri knows that his body, freshly 17 and nearing the rough end of adolescence, is adjusting to the physical and mental rigors of semi-professional figure skating. But it has been months, and he hasn't completed a quad of any sort. Even the easiest jump, the pick-assisted toe loop, evades him. He feels stuck, stagnant. In his darker moments, Yuri wonders if this new plateau is actually his summit.
"I know what a break is," Yuri mutters as he pushes Nishigori's hand off his thigh. "Don't be a jerk." "Hey now." Nishigori's self-satisfied grin grows. "I'm just being honest."
"Oh," Yuri drawls. "And here I thought you were just being rude." A year ago, Yuri's smart comment would have prompted Nishigori to scowl and punch Yuri just a little too forcefully in the arm. Now, Nishigori merely laughs and knocks his shoulder companionably against Yuri's. He has become more agreeable in the past year. He is kinder and easier to talk to. Yuko says it's because Nishigori has finally grown up. But Yuri, who has seen the soft way Nishigori presses his fingers to the middle of Yuko's stomach, is not sure age is the only contributing factor.
"Seriously, though," Nishigori continues once the mood mellows, "taking care of yourself isn't just about training and eating right. It's also about taking time for yourself, focusing on what's important."
Nishigori's eyes follow Yuko as she glides slowly backwards over the ice, a train of inexperienced kids trailing after her.
"Besides, the longer you practice, the more likely you are to make a mistake and hurt yourself. Can you imagine what a disaster that would be?"
"No," Yuri responds instantly. Though bruises, cuts, and chapped lips are a fact of figure skating, Yuri has never experienced anything worse than a grade 2 ankle strain. The 10 days he had to stay off the ice had been the longest 10 days of his life.
No, I can't.
Then take it easy, Nishigori says.
I'll think about it, says Yuri.
March in Hasetsu is a nebulous time. Snow clings stubbornly to the curbs, while patches of grass brighten along walkways. Birds return to roost in blossoming trees, yet the sun remains a distant and heartless white disk. The thawing air beginning to smell of clean earth and sharp ocean salt. The chilly wind nips. The last of winter tangles with the first of spring, and Yuri, who spends half his life on artificial ice, puts on a coat, but not his gloves, before he leaves for school.
Are you going to be home tonight? Mari asks, taking a drag of her cigarette.
They're sitting side by side in the private entryway as Yuri ties his shoes and Vichan's wagging tail thumps against the floor.
Same as usual, Yuri replies. The rink closes at 9.
Mari exhales, smoke dissipating upwards. She taps the ash from the end into a small ceramic dish she carries in the folds of her work robes and says,
You're not going to celebrate with friends.
Yuri is confused for a moment, thinking of Yuko and Ishigori. He is about to say, But I always meet them at the rink. When he remembers that it is the last day of his second year of high school.
Oh, Yuri murmurs.
He tightens the knots of his laces.
I don't. They're my classmates.
Mari scoffs. What, so they can't be your friends? Yuri frowns at his sister. There are classmates he talks to before the first bell, classmates he sits with during lunch, classmates he exchanges goodbyes with when the day ends, but he's never spent time with any of them outside of school. Few of his peers understand his dedication to his sport, and those who do spend their time with their own passions. It's a little ironic. His parents had originally enrolled Yuri in figure skating to help him make friends, but it ended up being one of the things that prevented him from deepening acquaintanceships.
I didn't say that. It's just...
Yuri shrugs.
No one's really interested in skating.
Or... Mari drawls, Viktor Nikiforov. Despite the faint flush that scores his cheeks, Yuri is more annoyed than embarrassed at Mari's pointed remark. He turns away from her, pushes the heel of his palm against his sternum to ease the ache he always feels when Viktor Nikiforov's name comes up, and huffs wordlessly.
Okay, kiddo, okay. I'll stop teasing you about your crush.
Mari laughs, a low rasp, and snubs her cigarette out in the dish by her knee.
Have fun at school.
Before he leaves, Yuri scratches Vichan behind the ears one final time and begrudgingly says goodbye to Mari. He is sure that the last day of school will be sedate and uneventful, and he is right. Exams were completed the previous week, and the busy work his teachers assign is simple. Some teachers don't even bother with the pretense and announce a free period. Predictably, Yuri's classmates break off into their usual cliques and talk about their plans for the 3-week-long break ahead of them. Yuri, who is not as antisocial as Mari accuses of being, joins such a group instead of staying at his desk and rewatching the previous 4 continents free skates on his phone.
I'm going to my grandfather's in Hokkaido. One of the 3 other boys in Yuri's circle says with a grimace,
There's still a ton of snow up there, and he always puts me to work. I'm in the prime of my youth. I should be somewhere warm, playing video games and meeting cute girls at the cafe.
You'd need a girl to actually agree to a date first,
a second boy interjects. Yuri and the other boys snort at the slight.
Hey, maybe getting it will be easier in Hokkaido.
The second boy continues with a smirk.
At least those girls don't know what a meathead you are. Who knows? You might even meet your soulmate. I bet she's going to be a country girl with a huge pair of... Oof!
The first boy punches the second in the arm, harder than is considered friendly, and they begin to slap and pinch one another over the desk separating them. It's not an uncommon thing. They push each other's buttons in the way close, lifelong friends often do, and no one in the room pays any attention to it. Man, I wish I got to leave town. The third member of their group bemoans to Yuri. I tried to get my parents to let me go to Osaka with my cousin, but they want me to attend cram school the whole time. They keep bringing up early entrance exams, too. He sighs and rests his cheek in the palm of his hand. What about your parents? Have they been writing you, too? No. Yuri shakes his head. I mean, my older sister started working at the onsen right after she finished high school, and I don't think my parents ever said anything to her, either. Lucky, says the other boy, drawing out and doubling up on the first syllable. I wish my family had a business. I could just skip university altogether and get to it. Yuri says nothing. He does not mind the inevitability of working at Utopia. The onsen has been in his family for many years, and he likes the traditional, sedate atmosphere of the inn. But he knows that he cannot do so immediately after he graduates high school. First, he must find out how far his skating will take him. If he does not, he knows he will regret it for the rest of his life. What about you? The question startles Yuri from his thoughts. What are you doing over break? I'm going to practice my quad toe loop, replies Yuri, truthfully, if not a little cautiously. Mari's earlier sentiment rears its ugly head and makes Yuri wonder if he's boring. He isn't interested in the same things as his peers, isn't interested in destination vacations or studying for exams or fooling around, and he is acutely aware of this fact. I want to be able to land a quad by the time the season starts. Yuri will also be watching the ISU World Championships with Yuko in a couple of weeks, but he doesn't voice this plan. If he does, he knows he'll inevitably wax poetic about Viktor Nikiforov and his stunning bittersweet programs. After Mari's inaccurate assumption that morning, Yuri knows he isn't ready to be teased a second time about his idolization. You know, I always forget that you figure skate, the other boy murmurs. Aren't you nationally ranked? Yeah, Yuri says. He competed in the All Japan Figure Skating Championships in late December and finished 20th with a total score of 152.08. Yuri is keenly aware that if it weren't for his presentation scores, he wouldn't have ranked at all. I didn't do very well. Yet before Yuri and the other boy's small side conversation can go into further, more difficult detail, the first half of their group stops roughhousing and pushes the topic back to their break. Yuri is thankful for the change of subject. It has always been strangely hard for him to talk about his skating with people who aren't Yuko, Minako, or his part-time coach. He puts too much of himself into the sport to express himself properly to people who aren't a part of the figure skating world. The rest of the school day passes and ends uneventfully. And less than half an hour after break begins, Yuri is in the locker room of Hasetsu Ice Castle. Nishigori is there. He goes to a different high school than Yuri, and he often beats Yuri to the rink by several minutes. Hey, Nishigori greets as Yuri sets his gym bag down on the concrete floor. Their assigned lockers are next to one another, as they have been for several years. Not celebrating with friends tonight? No, Yuri says. Are you? No. Nishigori shrugs nonchalantly. My graduation ceremony is next week, anyway. You still coming? Wouldn't miss it, says Yuri. He knows that school has always been hard for Nishigori. Nishigori wasn't book smart, and he struggled through most of his classes. His diploma will have been hard-earned. I'll even wear a tie. Nishigori snorts, but does not say anything, while Yuri perfunctorily changes out of his school clothes and into the athletic gear he wears on the ice. Over the past year, Yuri has grown several inches and lost a lot of his baby fat. His jawline is sharper, his stomach is flat, and his hips are narrow and trim. He knows he will never be as tall or as muscular as Nishigori, but those things matter less to him now than they once did, and Yuri no longer hesitates when he unbuttons his navy slacks and strips out of his sweater. Yuri's lack of self-consciousness while undressing is also due to his customized Soulmark cover. Minako had bought the first one online for his last birthday. In the 4 months since then, Yuri has amassed a dozen of the same Mark covers in various shades of black, blue, and gray. The cover is a sleeveless top that cuts beneath his ribcage, rises high on his neck, and hides every wild tendril of his Mark. The fabric is tightly woven, lightweight, and moisture-wicking, which is perfect considering that he wears one at all times. When he goes to school, and when he works out, when he skates and when he dances, when he's home and when he goes to bed. The only time Yuri does not wear his cover is when he showers. Once Yuri is done changing, he sits down on the bench next to Nishigori and pulls on his skates. He hunches over to reach his laces, his sternum pressed to his knee.
"Yuri," Nishigori says, I want to ask you something."
"Yeah?" Yuri, who is focused on properly lacing his boots over his high arches, does not quite catch Nishigori's subdued tone.
"I need a favor."
"Sure," Yuri says as he moves on to his second skate.
"What is it?"
Nishigori does not answer. Instead, there's a rustling noise, as though Nishigori were shifting the clothes around inside his gym bag. Then silence. It is not until Yuri finishes his task that he looks up and sees the small, unopened black ring box cradled in the broad palm of Nishigori's hand. The end of chapter 7. Thank you for listening.